How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs?
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware, and people can tune in from anywhere in the USA or anywhere in the world simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And the great point that we have been making is that you can listen live or you can listen anytime. During the last few weeks, I had many opportunities to go out to some festivals. We had a great, unbelievable attendance at the Polish American Festival there at Częstochowa in Bucks County in Doylestown. And many people love what our message is. Don't understand why everybody else is running away from it, but they love what our message is. They enjoy Mark Andel. Some even listen to Mark Andel's show right off the front link of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. They enjoy Rich Loges and Larkin Connolly. They enjoy what we have to say. A good lady said to me, good to hear that Bruce Bassett, an Englishman, spoke about how England became involved when the Second World War came out. People enjoy it. They feel like they are getting an education. They're being united. And that's really what the broadcast is all about. I'd like to say a special welcome to our great panel members, Mark Andel, who, as you know, is the founder of the Made in America store. And I want to mention that his link, Made in America store, is right there on the front page of our internet site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, or you can log on to MadeInAmericaStore.com. Now, you know, the holiday season's not that far away, and they're saying, oh boy, we may not have all those imported products and all. Well, go to Mark. He's 100% made in America. Check him out. He'll ship it right to your door, and you will be very happy, and you'll be very honored to give those gifts to family or friends. Now, Larkin Connolly is a national small business advocate, was very involved in SCORE, a businessman, someone who knows what he's talking about and understands the importance of keeping the American people strong. It's very hard to, compete with someone like Larkin because he's been around at many meetings. He's talked with people about their businesses and he knows more than most. Rich Loges is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and he'll be on a little later with us today. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. You know, as I saw, and we all saw in the reports on September the 11th, we saw how united Americans were after the attack on America. We were united, but we were never so united. And it was a patriotic time here in America. And I'd like to see that patriotism return. Not the tragic part, but the way Americans were concerned for their fellow Americans. I want to see that patriotism restored. And if you want to see more about the 9/11 situation, there's a documentary on the internet. It's called Road to 9/11. Check it out. Just go on Google and Road to 9/11, and it'll show you a lot more information. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, from the time of America's independence in 1776, Americans honored the American flag. They went out of their way to make sure that it was always displayed at their place of business and on special holidays, Flag Day, Memorial Day. On September the 11th, we all were united. But But somehow or other, over the last 20 years, that unity went down a little bit. We have to do something to return it. We're looking to expand the national scene and national community, a scene where you look at any distance and you see, wow, those people are together as Americans. Not just look at local communities, but a national community of people looking out for America first. And someone who understands that very well is Mark Andel. Mark, how is everything with you and what's been happening? What did you learn on September 11th that you would like to share?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike and Lark and Rich? Henry, thanks again for making us sound good. A lot going on, Mike, but I did watch a neat series called Turning Point on Netflix, 5 one-hour shows that really is worth watching. So for the listeners, Turning Point. You know, 9/11, we've always supported, never forgot. All those firefighters, police officers, common men and women, and you know, it was a 20-year anniversary. I've always said a prayer for them since that day, Mike, every day. So, you know, watching Turning Point, talking to people at our stores. We had a 20-year anniversary shirt that I wore, and you know, good stuff. Ricky Lee, of course, talked to. He had some tribute concerts. So always remembering those that were lost and those that just went to work on that day and never came back home, and the children and the families. So always, they're always in my prayers, and we should never forget that day. But like you said, one lady had said September 12th was her favorite day because everybody was united, Mike, and everybody was flying the American flag and loving their country like they should. Again, you talked about uniting. I think uniting, treat people like you'd like to be treated is the number one. It's that simple. Sometimes we got good forcing good sometimes with the R&D politics, but politics is lost right now. So I think it's down to the good old American people. I wanted to talk to you about a few things, Mike. We just had two buses. I just ran back to be on your show. Both buses, dual buses, came from Ohio. One bus within about a half hour of the other bus, filled with great Americans, all walks of life. And, of course, we get them fired up a little bit about America. And they more than love the store. And we talked about the shortages out there. But people are Christmas shopping now, Mike, not just from the buses. But they're loving stuff made in America. They're loving our country. Talking to these people just fires you up, Mike. You know, it's not the TV. It's not all the crap they're selling. You know, it's just good American people enjoying themselves, happy to get out again, happy to see what's made in America, loving that we're flying the flag and supporting our country. We've got veterans, we've got all walks of life, and, you know, 50 years old, you know, up to 90 plus, but really just having a good time, and it's great to see them out. They have fun, and we get back on the bus. We always send them away with a 100% made in America flag, because, again, a lot of people don't realize half our flags are made overseas. That just shouldn't be. And we give them a little candy and a good thank you for stopping. And they have a lot of fun. But, Mike, you know, the buses are positive, coming back, and they are coming back. We've got 60 this fall, which is incredible. And we fit them in between our regular day and always make sure we welcome the great Americans correctly. One thing I'm noticing and hearing, we've got product shortages as we talk about rapid inflation, product shortage and worker shortage. So we got the three. Them are the three that are going to be key. It should be top of the world news. Rapid inflation, but product shortage. Papers, big shortage. Again, Mike, you're probably hearing it. There's been articles yesterday, today. Again, we had the toilet paper situation, but a lot of the pulp issues. But we've got UPS and FedEx and United States Post Office. We just had meetings all week. They're raising the price from 5 cents to $5 starting October 1st on all packages shipped, which is a lot, Mike, on any product. Up to $5 more than you were paying before to get it shipped because they've got worker shortages. And skilled worker shortages, lately I've been talking to businesses. We touched on it last week. You brought up 10,000 Americans are retiring every day. And, you know, Larkin, we always talk about this, but what's happening at a lot of places I just talked to, they've got, say, four 65-year-old or 64-year-old people that are experienced, work for the company 40 years, and are retiring. Now, the owner is left with these people they can't hire, they can't get in, And when the 64-year-old people at this plant happens to have the same age people, when they retire at 65, he may have to close his doors because there's no one to replace him. And I'm really identifying, you got to identify the disconnect. We know the world's changing. Some of these plants around Buffalo, they're hiring and they're offering high amount per hour, but it matches the guy that works 25, 30 years there. That guy's unhappy because the new guy's getting the same amount that he worked 25 years for, and it's causing this internal issues, and yet the guy that they hired at the same pay as the 30-year employee doesn't have the experience or the knowledge. So I've got some great stories on that, but the skilled work shortage is going to really be devastating to America companies, and it's going to cause a lot of them to close, and unfortunately it's going to take a lot of time to get them back. But I wanted to mention that, again, the paper shortage. Just a lot going on, and there's like a new class of people. These people off the bus were telling me, Mike, you always had poor and your middle class, but now there's like the lazy class, you know, of people, and we want to talk about that. They just don't want to go back to work. That's it. And I want to leave you, also, what happened to the flu and the common cold? It's just gone. That doesn't happen no more, Mike. So I want to leave you with that.
You know what? I have to tell you this. First of all, the lack of workers is because many people that were working for other companies decided to go and work for Amazon and some others. Yep. They're hiring people. You see those Amazon trucks and others all around making deliveries all hours of the day. Millions of workers are now employed from home. Many people went out to deliver groceries because of COVID. People were just deciding, well, they'll buy everything online and have it delivered to their door. Many of the people were ordering breakfast, lunch, and dinner and having it delivered to their door. So many of those drivers have been all gobbled up. Millions of people are also, I said this several times, helping to care for elderly and needy parents and grandparents, as many of the other service groups, those home aides and all, were cut back during the coronavirus. Many of the people were not able to go into homes, and so they made this program, and it's now expanding, and there's going to be no way to end it, where you would be able to have a member of your family be your guardian at home. And sometimes those people were working in various places, and now they're working from home, so they're unable to be out on a regular job.
Yeah, now, Mike, I want to bring up one other thing with the product shortage. So you have the computer chip issue, the shortage, and 60 Minutes had a great show about 4 weeks ago. If you want to look it up, they're being made in Taiwan, and a few really interesting on 60 Minutes on a computer chip shortage. But also, so you've got the Ford, Chevy, Dodge, you got the truck problem. So that really affects me because I upfit trucks. So you put dump bodies on or plows. But now, so you had the computer chip shortage. You still have these vehicles sitting around. But then you had these hurricanes hit the Gulf Coast, the East Coast, and all these flooded out vehicles you see are no good no more. So that's more stress on the auto industry, more shortages. You know, it's an incredible, process. This monster is being built for 2022. Again, buckle up. We can't get spindles to build our axles for our trailers. The product shortage alone, but then you add this tough weather and these tough times. All this needs to be addressed on a national level, Mike.
Yep. And, another thing which is very important that we start discussing, and it's unfortunate that the people in Washington and in the local government and also in state government are not talking about this issue. We have an aging skilled worker crisis coming up. I mean, really big. In the next 3-4 years, we're talking about how we're going to tax people, how we're going to get them through the turnpike and get that money and all. But nobody is talking about the skilled labor shortage here in the United States of America. How are we going to keep industries interested in staying in America, expanding in America, coming back to America, when we're having a labor crisis right here in our country? It's something that people in government giving away money is one thing. All of that's going to come back to haunt us in the future. Give, give, give. How do you get? If you had a savings account of $19 or $20 trillion in America or $30 trillion, well, then you could take some of the money and give it away at a time of crisis. But right now, we're taking our money. We don't have the tax dollars to come in to pay those bills. We're taking our money and putting it on a credit card to give people. As I mentioned, at this festival, a couple came to me and said, Michael, that what was mentioned a few weeks ago about getting the people that are on benefits into some sort of a government program where they're able to help local people, maybe help do trees, clean parks, help seniors, deliver things, do all that, get the clean up, paint up, fix up our cities and our states. They loved it. How do you get that on the roster of things to do of our political people? They're scared to bring it up because they think it's degrading some person that's in their constituency. It doesn't make sense. Something is lacking in America, and I just can say it could be a set of, and with that, I'm going to go to Larkin. Larkin, tell us everything. What did you think about the 9/11 day of tribute to those that were lost and the families?
I thought it was suitable. It was it's a very important day in history, and it's one that needs to be recognized every year. It just needs the attention that it received, and I applaud or apologize to anybody who lost their lives, all 303,000 of the people who worked in New York, and the courageous passengers on Flight 93, and all of the people in the Pentagon who thought they were just at another day's work. The country got attacked. I mean, hugely attacked. And I will draw a parallel between that attack and the fact that we have been nothing but a feckless power since that day. Bush stood on top of a pile of rubble and said, I hear you, the country hears you, the world hears you, and the people who did this are going to hear you. They did.
Well, I didn't. I thought of that.
Nine years to get a hold, to get our hands on Bin Laden, and meanwhile, they can make a 15-minute phone call and tell me where I am right now and how much taxes I owe to the city, state, and the federal government. Yeah, it makes no sense. We have turned into a feckless power that refuses to administer democracy around the world. What we did in Afghanistan is deplorable.
It's unbelievable.
Biden's withdrawal was the most unmitigated disaster I have ever seen in my life. And the idea that the Secretary of State would sit there and blame it on Trump is not only funny. Saturday Night Live ought to have a skit about that. But it is so ridiculous and so far-fetched. But yet, that Congress is going to accept it. I mean, the hearings are over with. I don't know if he goes in front of the Senate again, but I listened to much of those, and I just thought, this is deplorable.
You know, Larkin, you're right, and I have to tell you this. No one in Congress is discussing the fact, if you go on the debt clock right on the front page of American Workers Radio and just look at it, no one's saying that there are 9 million people needing a job on unemployment. Nobody's talking about that. Every little thing that gets in the news, they make a big to-do out of it, but they never discuss the things to bring America back to life.
It's not important to them.
Well, but
they are now examining. They are now examining a $3.5 trillion. And let me put trillion into perspective for you. If you spent $300 million a day for 2 years. $300 million a day. $300 million a day for 2 years. You would it would equal the money that we spent in Afghanistan. $2 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a president who's sitting here is going to give them $56 million. I heard a congressman the other day say, "Well, listen, can we write the check for $56 million and then put that against the amount of hardware and planes and armaments and uniforms and bullets and rifles and Humvees and helicopters that we left behind?" It's I can't even imagine that this guy and so what message did we send politically to this country? We reelected or killed an attempt to remove a governor who is, by anybody's explanation and evaluation, one of the worst governors in the country. Now, he's got the biggest job, but he is deplorable. He has done virtually nothing for 2 years except sit and watch his state burn, not address the water problems, not address the taxation problems, not address the fact that 30% of their small businesses in California have closed with no intent of returning.
Right.
With the fact that during his administration, California for the first time has people moving out and not moving in. And where are they moving? Somewhere where they can take their... Okay. So the other thing I wanted to bring to mind that should outrage every person in this country, and yet I watched all three, I recorded and watched all three network news stations last night, and not one person, not one network news mentioned it. The fact of the matter is that our president is attempting to install, through however methods that he probably sees fit to use, an attempt to get everybody in the country vaccinated. Companies with more than 100 employees, the wide range of what he's attempting to do is so far beyond belief, it's not even funny. But I've got another step on this that makes it even more hard to believe. He's exempted the post office. 650 million federal employees, and they are exempted from the vaccine mandate.
Why is that, Larkin?
Why? You want me to tell you why? It's because it's one of the country's largest unions and most powerful unions, and Biden isn't going to step on any union toes. That's a significant percentage of his following. The only thing that I've heard that represents, and you know how I feel about polls, I think they're absolutely ridiculous. But the last poll that was taken on Monday shows that his favorability rate is 42%. This guy's plummeting faster than Trump did. And again, this is in defense of Trump. This is not in defense of any particular party. This is in defense of a system that we have allowed to get completely and totally out of control. And here's insult to injury. The postal workers are exempt from the vaccine mandate. Guess who else is exempt?
Teachers.
Congress and all of its workers. Congress is exempt.
Wow.
Congress.
You know, Larkin, I spoke to a nurse at one of the festivals, and she said to me, you know, Michael, for the record, one of the reasons we hear so much about coronavirus and the hospital situation is because every person that comes into our hospital is tested for the coronavirus, whether they came in for a sore finger or whatever, appendicitis, they go through the whole thing. If they're just there, you know, for a small little question, they want to give you the whole thing because, first of all, it means money for them because they're doing their job testing you. But it's also adding to this wow amount of people that are supposedly with the coronavirus. Many of the people that are coming into the doctor's offices after having the coronavirus, the doctor says, "No, you don't even need the third shot because you had coronavirus twice, even though you were vaccinated. You got more antibodies than anybody." So.
Right.
There, it's just unbelievable what's going on, but it's all done by the national news media, yet the national news media doesn't want to talk about American workers, America's businesses, America's schools, the need for trades. They don't want to talk about any of it. They say it is controversial. If someone can tell me what's controversial about training our boys and girls for employment opportunities of a lifetime as they go to junior and senior high, I want to know what that controversy is. Rich Loges, do you know what that controversy is?
Hi, Michael. Hi, everyone. Good morning. And I came in a little bit late. And Mark and Larkin, so I'll work, Michael, try to answer this way. Whatever one's, whether one agrees or disagrees with what employers are going to do is everyone's prerogative and opinion, of course. But I'm going to tell you this, Mark, if businesses think they've got it hard now, if there is another surge of this virus, almost certain to be another, then logic would have it that it will now prey upon the actual most vulnerable of our population, newborns, toddlers, and infants. At that point, if that occurs, and I really truly hope it doesn't, Michael, but statistically speaking, it's likely to, what we will see is we will see workers who will walk off of their jobs working if their employers do not require vaccination. And they will not come back. So that's what here in, on planet Earth, Mark, like that's what we worry about, right? As a business owner, we worry about our workers. In my world of technology, I don't really have employees, but I have to work with numerous parties on a daily basis on some kind of contractual basis. So yeah, they're not employees in a traditional sense, but we're still working together very closely. So. The question that I have for the Republican Party is public health the hill? There's a saying in politics, Michael. You've heard it, and it's two variations: the sword you'll die on, or the hill to die on.
Yeah.
I guess the question for the Republican Party is public health the hill that they're willing to die on? Because I feel like we're in that territory right now. And when all is said and done, the majority of Republicans in America are going to be vaccinated, either on their own volition or by employer mandates. And when that occurs, then the question is going to be, against whom are we really waging war? I mean, who's the war against, right? Because economically, I've got some bad news, I guess, for those amongst us who say that employers don't have rights to require this. They do. Now, Mark, if you choose as a business owner to not do that, you're asserting your rights as a business owner to do that. But if Larkin decides he wants to, then he will. And I've got a sobering reality, Michael, for a lot of our, you know, fellow like-minded people, is that the courts will affirm those rights. Those are rights that we call corporate personhood, which traditionally Republicans and conservatives have favored corporate personhood, right? You know, you have wide autonomy, Mark, to run our business the way we want. That applies here. So I'm not going on a COVID tangent, Michael. What I'm saying is that here, the people I talk to on a daily basis, the reason that this COVID virus is so prevalent in their lives is because it's affecting all aspects of their personal and professional lives right now. Mm-hmm. And these are not people, Larkin, these are not people who are hysterical people, okay? They're not. They're working families. They're business owners. I just met recently, Michael, with a, you know, recent college grad. And, you know, he's telling me, he said, it's the job market right now. He said, you would think that it would be at least slightly easier to get a job. But even with these job openings, Mark, companies are concerned about hiring people whom they think are not qualified for these jobs. So once COVID starts, and by the way, just in case anyone's wondering, COVID has not affected, Mark, the importation of H-1B workers. It did last year. That's why, Lark, in California's population decreased for the first time ever. Because even though lots of people would leave California, there are people who would move there domestically, but then California brought all kinds of people from overseas in. So even though a bunch of people left would leave California, Michael, year after year, if you look at the census from 2010 to 20, California's population increased in that time. But that's because last year we didn't bring foreign workers in. So so now we're back to giving out those H-1B visas. So what do you think the college kid, Mark, I spoke to was worried about? Competition for his job from overseas. That hasn't slowed. COVID hasn't slowed that down, Mark. That's slowed it down.
That's very interesting. That's correct.
So this is what people, right? How many people woke up today and when their feet hit the floor, Mark, the first thought they had was, I wonder what Mike Lindell's doing today. Larkin, I wonder what the audit in Maricopa County is showing. And just as a side note, because Larkin mentioned Gavin Newsom, I know that the new standard in America for both parties of voters is to believe that you didn't actually lose, that it was somehow unfair. I know that's the new standard, Larkin. So I posited a question today to somebody, and he looked at me as if I exited the men's room and forgot to pull my pants up. And here's the question I asked them. I said, what if all of these losses are actually something far more frightening than fraud? What if they're actually simple majority democracy? You see, to me, Larkin, that's actually far more frightening than fraud, the simple majority democracy. And I asked them, I said, what if all of these losses that we think are not real, what if they are? And I looked at him and I said, deep down, you probably don't want to think that, because that's a horrifying reality to think about. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me as if no one in his entire life, Michael, and I wasn't mad at him, but he looked at me as if somehow that question was a personal affront to him. And I've asked that question numerous times, because I could go through long list with all of you guys, from Al Gore to Willard Romney to Stacey Abrams to Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump to Larry Elder. And they all think that their loss was impossible. And a significant percentage of each of those voting bases believe that.
Yeah, I agree, Rich. I agree. The thing that cracks me up is with all that's been going on, that's why I promote term limits. When people say, this one's been in there too long, I say, well, that's why I agree. And I promote and I, you know, say term limits are very important to America and to the American system, because you shouldn't have somebody in there 45 and 49 years. It doesn't make any kind of sense. Some of them came in at 30 and they're, you know, they're retiring at 90, either feet first or, you know, forced retirement. But the bottom line is, at no point have any of these people made it their point to bring attention to the fact that tens of thousands of businesses have moved out of America every decade in the last four decades. In the last 40 years, tens of thousands of businesses left. It's to the point where we go to the store and it's a struggle to find any label made in America. And when you tell that to elected officials, which I do, they say, it's a free, open market economy, Michael. Whatever the traffic will bear, it bears. There's no concern. You know, Larkin, do you hear that too?
Yeah, you know, it's here's the problem. Term limits is one of the solutions, as far as I'm concerned. But the main problem in this country now, and it permeates throughout any elected office, not usually locally. Local people usually are so close to this constituents that they have a tendency to listen and do what the constituents want. But when you start talking about Congress and not having to, I get goosebumps on my arms when I think that they don't have to get vaccines. I'm amazed.
Because many of them feel it's still not really, really valid. It's not approved by the FDA. It's just been approved to push it through.
Why are they making you and me do it then? Here's the deal. There's no accountability. And Rich knows this as well as anybody. Nobody anywhere is held accountable. They do as they please. They always have. And they don't really, answering to the public is like, I can hear staffers in congressional offices going, oh no, that Rich Logis is on the line again. Holy sh! Somebody else take this call. This guy is going to, and I know it. That's what they think about accountability.
Right, exactly.
When you represent a congressional district where three or four to one of people in the district wanted specific laws put in place as far as abortion was concerned. They were right to lifers, in essence. And you know what their congressperson votes? You know what this Congress lady votes? She votes for abortion. She's not representing her constituents. She's representing herself. And there's no accountability. We are so far away from giving a damn about, you know, when you get elected, there's a reason why they walk you down the aisle of the joint chamber to swear you in. And it's because in the walking down process, your head and shoulders get ahead of yourself. And the first thing you know, you're in a somersault position and you're rolling down the aisle and you emerge from this roll with rectocranial inversion. And it never gets fixed. The entire time you're there, you never fix the problem.
Now, Larkin, I'm going to ask you a question. I know that you've observed the Congress as it is and the Senate. If I said to you, Larkin, Can I ask you to be the main spokesman for America's workers? Which of the congressmen or senators would you like to have the first meeting with?
Well, I have a new hero. I have somebody who doesn't pay attention to politics, doesn't pay attention to party lines, and I want to. By the way, I've got a whole new ticket for president. If anybody's willing to talk about that, who I want to run against Biden or whatever stooge he puts up. I've got this almost uncontrollable admiration for the good congressman from the state of West Virginia, whose name jumped right out of my mind. But this guy is he asks questions like, okay, $3.5 trillion. It's mostly social infrastructure and not the infrastructure, physical infrastructure of the country. But my first question is, how are we going to pay this? Well, that question was answered by the other stooge from Vermont that ran for, and names are escaping me because all I think about is stooge. But Bernie Sanders said, we're going to make the richest people in America pay for this. Well, Bernie, you've been there long enough that you have your signature all over the tax code. Which part of the tax code are you going to change so that those people have to pay?
But, you know, also the very good point, Larkin. Let me ask you this. What percentage of Americans do you feel in this day and age are so wealthy that they would be able to repay the $28 trillion now on the books of America? If we did go after all the rich people and say, hey, help American workers, pay down that debt, let's get, you know, taxes lowered, how many rich people are left? Many of them have gone abroad. They don't want to be bothered with America.
Yeah, that's exactly where their money and their investment capital will go, and it'll be another blow to entrepreneurism and jobs and work in this country. And the Congress people will raise their hands high in the air like they want to go, woo, woo. And they'll say, you know, it's a free economy in the world, and if they want to take their money elsewhere.
But Larkin, I need to know,
you know how stupid these guys are.
It's insane. I ask many people, you know, I talked to one particular national elected official, and I said, you know, there's a major need in this particular area, and it's starting on this particular avenue. And he said, oh, I don't think that's in my district. I said, well, you've been serving in there for 12 years, and from what I know, it's in your district. It doesn't, you know, that doesn't just fly away, you know, that part of the district. He says, well, maybe you can speak to a member of my staff about that, because I'm not sure about that. I don't go out, worst thing you could say to me, I don't go out to all parts of the district. And I said, well, that may be something that might be good to do, is to start and go out to the parts of the district where the regular people live, where the people who are going out to vote for you live and have concerns. What? And are, by the way, this part of the district works hard, keeps its place very nice. However, they do have some infrastructure needs, like new sewers and stuff like that, to stop all the backup. And yet, they don't know about it. All this infrastructure money they're talking about, I'd like to see it outlined by how much is going to benefit the day-to-day American driving on the street, you know, having their gutters, you know, replaced, having their streets repaired, and there are new lines that we haven't had, water lines and all, put in the ground for over 100 years. I want to see what's in those bills, yet there's 2,800 pages. I don't have time to look through it. A majority of the people in Congress have no idea what's in it. They're depending on three or four people to read it and give them some advice.
So this is typical of what's going on, and I can tell these stories until I'm blue in the face. But Biden's energy secretary is a young lady by the name of Jennifer Granholm, and she certainly inspires confidence amongst those involved in trying to resolve the energy issues in this country. As the Michigan governor, Granholm spent $20 million to help a company build a biofuel plant that never opened. The plant never even materialized. They declared bankruptcy, and the $20 million flew right out the window.
Right.
And add insult to injury, this is our energy. This is our energy czar. She spent $125 million on an electric car battery manufacturer in her home state of Michigan that went bankrupt. They got their doors open, but they declared bankruptcy. I don't think they saw their first full tax year. So they went bankrupt, and they sold all their assets and went out of business. They sold their assets China. This country spent $125 million building a battery plant that Granholm allowed them to close, go bankrupt, and sell the assets to China.
Yes, Larkin.
There's nothing wrong in this country.
And that is why they're looking to Afghanistan and all. They're not worried about that. They're looking for the minerals in the ground. And our country spent 20 years there, and I mentioned last week, we don't even have a 20-mile by 20-mile strip of land that we can call America, a little piece of America that we helped pay with our trillions of dollars and our 2,600 dead soldiers and 20,000 wounded people. And now we want to give them additional money. I think it's sacrilegious. I think that every person that suggested it should be brought up before a firing squad and said goodbye to.
Well, I don't know about the firing squad, but right down the street, 127 pack of the Cub Scouts. I would have sent those 16 boys over to Afghanistan and gotten a better result than Biden got. It's embarrassing.
But you know, Larkin,
to blame it on Trump.
But Larkin, we can say that it was a poor pullout, and you know, Trump had something to do a little bit with it. Biden, but this has been going on for 20 years. There was no plan in 20 years to make it better. No plan.
The last five presidents have their DNA all over the problem.
But the thing, that's right. But as I looked at a few of the documentaries, there was no plan. It was just go on, keep sending troops, recirculate troops, keep the money moving, keep the guys in the service. You know, there was no plan. It should have been when George Bush went to Afghanistan and Iraq and all, he should have had a plan. Okay, we're there for 2 years. Let's see what happens in 2 years. In 2 years, we plan to get out or move forward to get more involved. There was no plan in 20 years.
So they say, the Secretary of Defense was actually quoted as saying that Trump left us a date, but he didn't leave us a plan.
I heard that.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Did he leave you a plan for COVID, or did you just stand around and call him a complete idiot and create a plan? Do you mean to tell me when you're elected president, you have to accept everything in place from the former president?
That's right.
You sat there for 3 days writing executive orders, killing everything that Trump had done, and now he didn't leave you a plan?
You know, Larkin, you're right. And by the way, when someone takes over as the commander-in-chief and all the people that he brings in, he brought in on January the 20th, they should have looked at everything before the presidency of Trump, the presidency of Obama, the presidency of everyone before them, to see if things needed to be adjusted to make things better in the world, to make America's economy better, to help American workers, to help America's families. None of that's happening. It's all bibble babble. You listen to the evening news, and if you notice, they give you the news. They give it to you in 40 seconds so they can say, we did mention it. So they can say, we did mention it. Now, if they had any brass, they would say, this happened, and we feel as the news media, this has to be addressed. We'd like to see all these appointed officials, elected officials dress it. At least the American people would get more than the 40 seconds of that little report and have nowhere else to think. Well, maybe we should address it. There is none of that. This is what the problem with the national news media is. They want to tell you something, but they really don't want you to know all the facts, figures, and the timeline. That's the bottom line.
You know, Mike, a lot of these bus people I just spoke to, they don't like listening to the news no more. Again, they don't want their worthless opinions, but it's supposed to be news and factual. Many of them told me they just shut it off. So, you know, news right now is for entertainment, and I think we want people to get to work. What you guys are talking about, Larkin, you said it the other week, you know, we've been lied to for 50 years. We want the facts now.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know,
there's no way you're going to get it. They're going to throw smoke. Of course, you know, they sat in the White House and they said, okay, we need to get this Afghanistan thing off the front page. Somebody throw some mud up against the wall. Let's see what sticks. And let's go out there with this really new pop. We're getting such high grades on COVID. Let's put this new plan out. And that'll take Afghanistan off the front page. You got to know that's the way they think.
Absolutely.
You got to know that's exactly the way they run.
Mark, you just nailed it. That's what's going on.
And that is what's going on.
Exactly what's going on. And they're and then they put out a COVID plan and said, by the way, the post office, 650,000 people don't have to. One of the largest, that's almost a million people. They don't have to. They don't have to. Oh, and Congress, they're exempt too. They can do what they want. You know what the White House said yesterday? We hope that they work it out so that they all get vaccines. What? And you're telling me that if I'm a company that and I'm a vendor of the federal government, if I don't vaccinate every one of my employees, I'm off the list?
That's right.
Come on, Washington. Come on.
You know, Larkin, there was a little sign in a store in Northeast Philadelphia, and I thought it was cute, but it was very telling. It said, order now in September so you will be able to have it for Christmas time. And what they're doing, it's all imported stuff. Even the imported products are harder and harder to come by. And I'll tell you why. It's not just because of the COVID situation and they were closed down for a while. It's because foreign merchandisers have now entered other foreign countries. And they are bringing those products to those countries. So America's just one on a list of 20. Before it used to be on one of a list of 3 or 4. Now it's just on a list of 20. So you better order now if you want it for Christmas. That's the bottom line. Mark, do you see there's going to be no problem getting products for Christmas?
Well, you just nailed it, but it is shopping now. We're witnessing it. Our Made in America products are coming in, like green toys and all these things we ordered early. They have a worker shortage, but they got high demand, but they are producing products. We're not getting all full loads, Mike, but they're coming in now. But the shipping container shortage and all the global products, they missed their boat. They are not coming in. So absolutely right now, like I said, buy your products now. But online is going to be a problem. They're raising the shipping prices, UPS, United Postal. They can't keep up, but they're putting $5 extra per shipment. So a lot of crazy things coming on. It's not wait for Thanksgiving to shop. It's shop now, Mike.
Shop now. And you know what? I'll give you one last thing before we have to sign off today. And that is, as we helped those countries get jobs, their people benefited. They went up the ladder a little bit of success. They are now buying products that they never thought of about buying 10, 20, or 25 years ago. Now they're buying the products from Vietnam and China that they weren't able to even think of or afford 15, 20, or 25 years ago. So America is a second-rate country to them because they can send it anywhere in the world now. They are the true leaders of the global economy. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we have to sign off for today. It was a good program. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to Larkin Conley, Mark Andel, Rich Logis, our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihosh. Listen to our rebroadcasts anytime simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link and look at all the other information that we have on our page. You'll be very pleased with the message that we are trying to promote. Until next time, may God bless you and God bless everyone that you know and love.
Have a great week, guys. Fly your flags, American flags.
Thanks, everyone.
Buy Made in America products.